We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, may we be captured again by the magnificent truth that we were once dead in our sins, but we now have been made alive in Christ Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You are the forgiver of our sins. We bless you, Lord. You are the healer of our diseases. We bless you, Lord. You have redeemed our wasted lives from the pit and given us purpose. We praise you, Lord. Lord, you have crowned us with your steadfast love and mercy. Hallelujah. What good news. You have satisfied us with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord, you are our portion and it is fully satisfying. We praise you, the forgiver of sins, and we ask that you would forgive us our dalliances of this week. We praise you, Lord, the healer of our diseases, and we pray, Lord, that you would speak where everybody is diseased, where everybody is injured, where there is chronic pain, where there is the presence of anything that was not created in us by you in our mother's wombs. We ask, Lord, that you would recreate these broken and diseased bodies. Renew them, Lord. Renew them. Father, we pray, Lord, that when we find ourselves wondering, that you would bring us in line with your purpose, and we would know that we know that we know that we are living lives that bring you pleasure and glory. Our lives are not wasted. Lord, make us to be satisfied, contented people. With your presence and your good gifts. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray. We need it desperately in this day. Would you cause us to operate in love one for another so that the world sees that we belong to you? Amen. Amen. Don't be seated. Would you just move around and bump into a couple people and say, howdy? Say hi. Oh, man. Sarah. Good morning. Good morning, sir. Good morning. Bless you. Feel free to make yourself back, find yourself back to where you're going to be seated. Feel free to continue to have joy. A couple of quick announcements following service today. Our crochet group meets back here in the living room. I won't go on and on, but what a sweet, lovely ministry this is. If you don't know, they gather together the first Sunday of each month, of most first Sundays of each month, of most months. And they back there and they crochet, maybe somebody sneaking in a little knitting, I don't know. But that'd be, you know, out of bounds. It's just a crochet. But anyway, they crochet items for Door of Hope Pregnancy Center. And I had some pictures back in the past, but I forgot to bring those. It is really sweet. It is really lovely and being a blessing to this ministry, to moms who are in a position where they just need to be encouraged and supported. And it is exactly that. And so my understanding is you can go and you can learn how to crochet, or you can pretend to learn how to crochet. There are those who apparently have the spiritual gift of crocheting, and they just put it out. They just pump it out. And so those of you who do not have this gift, you're not going to be dragging the group down. Anyway, that's that. If you can't be here this week, they'll be here in, it's February, isn't it? In March as well. So there we go. Man, it's March. It's February. Wednesday night, Bible study resumes at 6:30 over here. I believe, I know I was shown an email I sent out that had conflicting information right on the email. I typed in 6:45 and the slide said 6:30. The picture is correct. I got my mind around the time that the board meets when we meet. And so it's 6:30 this Wednesday. But here, let me just cue you in on something. We would love for you to come. This is a Bible study I'm excited about, that I want everybody who can come and be a part of it. We want to get it off as well to the best possible foot. And right now, according to my weather app on my phone, there's the potential for snow on Wednesday. And I was looking at it. The rain doesn't begin before. The rain continues after. So there could be some snow happening in the evening. And I just know how we are. And I don't want anybody who wants to come to feel that the only way you might get there is to put your life in jeopardy. I will say, if it is snowing, like a blizzard or not, we're going to push it off 1 week. And then we'll start. So keep an eye, not just on the weather, but I'll post it on Facebook and I'll send out an email. And if you are just wondering, because you're not on Facebook and for some reason I haven't, you don't get the email push as well, text me, give me a call at my cell phone. That's the best way to get a hold of me. Everybody have my cell phone number? You should. If you don't, just check, and I'll make sure you get it. 302-357-2232. It's easy, so there you go. 302-357-2232. But I'll give it to you after church if you need to. So we have every intention of starting this Wednesday, but now it's a little sketchy. So just keep your eye out for this. Next Sunday at 9 a.m., we're going to be continuing our life in the church classes over here. This is on the topic of serving, loving your church with your heart, time, and gifts. If you miss this Sunday, you're going to be just fine coming next Sunday. It's a conversation as much as possible on what God has called us to do. He has called us out of darkness into the kingdom of His glorious light, where we serve Him, we serve one another, and we serve the world. And I'll tell you, I was convicted by one passage this morning, and I'm this close to losing my mind and just not letting you have it, but losing my mind and encouraging you with this. Jesus says this: by this they will know you're my disciples, by your love for one another. And it really, really captured my mind in a way it never had this morning. So anyway, next week we're going to pick that back up on why do we serve. Next Sunday, men's and women's ministry is going to be gathering back together. We will meet following service, ladies in the back, because it's there's a horde of ladies. And guys over here, there's a couple of us. That's how it goes. If you have your book, men, bring it. Women, you don't have your book unless you're part of the leadership team, because you'll be starting a brand new book and there'll be books there for you next week. In addition to this, Calvary is hosting a Beyond pop-up women's Bible study. It's called Thrive. If you will notice, Debbie Keever is one of the teachers. Laura Perino is one of the teachers. You know Laura. And I think you know this third teacher. Geralyn Hall, Jerry Lynn, is going to be teaching. And so from 9 till 12, it is going to be just water, fire hose with the Word of God, a good teaching. There's also going to be a second one in May. This is something new that they're trying with, and we have the pleasure of hosting them. I do want you to know that it is a ticketed event. And so if you want to get your ticket, you can go to the Beyond social pages, Facebook, Instagram, whatever other social media pages they're on. I just know they're on that. Or in the email push that I send out either Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, I will have the link to the page to get you that. Okay? Are we good? All right, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Going to read verses 1 through 8, and then going to walk through straight from beginning to end without very many side trips into other passages of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless me now, Lord, that you would empower me to speak your word to your people with your heart. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my God, my rock and redeemer. Amen. Amen. So we're entering into a new three-week series. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be sprinting through a series that I'm going to call The Gifts of the Godhead, a Primer. This is an introduction. We're not going to go miles deep in this. We're going to stay pretty shallow because there's a lot of things that could be said, and there's a lot of explanation that could be given. Each of the gifts that we're going to be talking about deserve its own particular Sunday or its own particular class. We're not going to be doing that. We're going to be sprinting through. We're going to be taking a look at things. And as a pastor, what I'm going to be doing is laying some things before you, praying that the thought of being useful for God in these ways captures your heart, and you find yourself positioning yourself before the Lord saying, "Lord, here I am, use me." This is a front end, not a everything series. The Gifts of the Godhead, a Primer, an introduction. And there's going to be a lot left unsaid, and everybody's good with that, right? Because you know what happens when this guy says everything he thinks. Today, we're going to be considering the motivational gifts given by the Father, which are recorded here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Next Sunday, we're going to be considering the ministry gifts that the Son gives. The following Sunday, on February the 16th, we're going to be considering the charismatic gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. And we find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Again, I'm going to be broad brushing in many ways. This is how God creates people. the motivational gifts. You're thinking about the gifts I have by creation. Next week, the gifts that God gives so that we grow. And the following week, the gifts that God gives in the way He uses us. Understanding that in a very real sense, each gift, all of these gifts, be they motivational, be they ministry, be they charismatic, are given by the entirety of the Godhead. But it is a helpful way for us to think of the gifts of the Godhead, that God the Father is the one who created in us in a particular way. God the Son is the one who gifts the church with those who have ministry gifts, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors. And it is the Holy Spirit who comes and empowers us moment by moment to be used in the charismatic, the power gifts. In fact, there is, to confirm the thought that I have, that all of these gifts can be thought of as being gifts of the entirety of the Godhead. It's not that the Father is giving gifts and saying, "You, Jesus, and you, Spirit, stay over there. These are just my gifts." And Jesus saying, "Well, if that's the case, you have nothing to do with giving pastors. And if that's the case, the Holy Spirit, you guys stay over there and watch me blow the roof off the church with prophecy and words of knowledge and speaking in tongues and interpretation." These are all the gifts that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit gives. But we also understand that within the Trinity, there are particular ways that they work. There's a division of labor, so to speak. And so, but where I find really solid ground in saying these gifts that the Father gives, the Son and the Spirit are part of, and these gifts that the Son gives, the Father and the Spirit are a part of, and these gifts that the Spirit gives, the Father and the Son gives. I find freedom in saying that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28, that mashes them all together to some extent. Groups them together, not comprehensively, and makes a couple of additions there. Here's what 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and this is all an introduction. "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, ministry gifts from Ephesians, then miracles, gifts of healing," skipping ahead, "various kinds of tongues," charismatic gifts, the Holy Spirit gifts, and then in the middle there, gifts of helping and gifts of administration, which would fall under what we have in Romans chapter 12, motivational gifts, that actually these are additions to what we find in Romans chapter 12. And so with that said, I think that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, to be particularly helpful because you know how we are, don't you? Don't you know how we are? Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Brian? You know, if it's not there, some of us will dig our heels in and say, "Hey, that's not a thing. Wait a second. In Romans chapter 12, Paul said nothing about the gifts of help or gifts of ministering, so where do they belong?" That he includes these in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I find helpful, and it allows us to think, loved ones, there are ways that God gifts people by nature and by empowerment that aren't specifically written in the Scriptures. We don't know them all. Neither of these lists is to be thought as completely comprehensive. They're there to help us understand how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit works. He works in creation, giving us aptitudes and abilities and a temperament unlike one another, but each one for His glory. He works within the church to build up one another so that we are more and more useful and powerful in our service. And He, from time to time, pours Himself out upon and then through His followers in powerful ways so that the world stands back and the church goes, "Wow, isn't the Lord something?" All introduction. Anyway, you ready to get to it? Today we're considering the motivational gifts given by the Father in Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship." Whenever you see the word "therefore," and I'm sure if you've been in church for a long time, you've heard this trick. What are you supposed to ask yourself when you see the word "therefore" in the Bible? What is that "therefore, therefore"? And whenever you find therefore, it's always pointing you back to what came before. Immediately before, but in this case, the therefore in chapter 12 is basically referencing all the work of God in mercy and salvation from chapter 1 through chapter 11. Since God has worked powerfully and mercifully in salvation, therefore, since this is who God is and what God has done, therefore you please, by the mercies of God, present your life as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is acceptable. This, offering yourself up, is an act of worship. Christians, let me say it this way. Christian, you are to give yourself, you are to present your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice because He has in mercy saved you. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice is a claim that we belong to God, body, soul, and spirit. Everything that we are belongs to Him. Everything about us ought to be submitted to Him and lived in dedication to Him. Have you heard this one? Do you know the problem with the living sacrifice? The problem with living sacrifice is they tend to walk off the altar and move away. And so Paul says, by the mercies of God, present. Continue to present your life as a living sacrifice before God. This is your act of worship. That we are alive from the dead and that we enjoy new life in God through Christ, it means this. We are not appointed to death. The sacrificial system demanded the blood of goats and doves and rams and bulls over and over and over and over. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, the scripture tells us. But we are to be living sacrifices. And loved ones, as those who have been brought back into life, we are not to be offered up on a sacrifice and to be killed, our own blood shed, for somebody has shed his blood in our place. Once and for all, Christ offered up his blood in our place. Jesus Christ has sacrificed himself in our place, making our spiritual worship the offering up of our lives to the Lord in service. He is our gracious and our merciful King. And in the language of the title of a very well-loved devotional, we are to give our utmost for his highest. All the time, every day. That's what it means to live your life as living sacrifices. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writes this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So in saving us body, in saving us in soul and spirit, God has worked in us. And loved ones, I'm here to tell you, He is at work in you still. And you say, hallelujah. It's good news. God has worked and He is working to change everything that is worldly about us. Anybody feel a little fleshly at times this week? Anybody? God's at work to change that. Our spirits have been made alive in Christ. This is good news. Our minds are being made new day by day so that they have the ability to discern the will of God. I'm going to tell you, as you grow in Christ, your ability to perceive what it is that God wants you to do moment by moment improves. You get better at it. You get better at resisting sin, and you get better at walking in grace. Is there room for us to grow? There will always be room for us to grow, but I don't ever want any of the people sit under my preaching to feel like it is no way you're ever going to get there. I want you to have confidence that God is working in you and He is transforming the very way you think. And that though there are still times of failure, there is a rising sense in God's perspective, in your actual experience of pleasing God in the way you live. that it is possible for you to delight yourself in the Lord so much that He gives you the desires of your heart. This is not a fool's errand to serve the Lord. It is not a dead end road to give your life to serving God. You are to serve your life, give yourself up as a living sacrifice with the thought that God has placed His hands upon you. He has taken a hold of you. As Paul said this, this is what I do. I do what I can to take hold of that thing for which God has taken hold of me. Anybody ever like try and walk a little kid around? Anybody do that? That kid is just doing his own thing. You grab him and go, no, no, this is... Because you know where you're taking him. There's something good at the end. There's a surprise, right? Oh, yeah. This is what Paul says. God has taken a hold of me. And He's moving. And Paul says, is what I want to do is to see that thing before me that God has taken a hold of me and is leading me to, and I want to take hold of that. That's what He's doing. He is at work in your life, transforming your mind so that you'll be able to discern and know what is right. And in seeing what is right and knowing what is right, there is within you desire to take hold of that and to do it. This is what is before you. This is what God is working in you. And I believe it's happening. I believe it's happening. Our bodies have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there is going to come a day, loved ones, when they are fully renewed. Hallelujah. So, by paraphrase, Paul is pleading. By the mercies of God. If it was me, I'd go, good grief. Let the gospel have its way with you. Let everything that you are, everything that you are, everything that you do, be done with a clear conscience in worship for the glory of God. If you reject the negative things of this world and God has His way, even the way you think is going to be changed. And your entire life will be good and acceptable before Him and a display of His goodness to this world. Good grief, loved ones, let the gospel have its way. This is the way I pray this. Lord, I'm your son. I want to make you proud of me as a father. That's what the request is. I want my thinking to be changed so that the trajectory of my life, the footsteps that I take, the words that I speak are pleasing in your sight, O Lord. So you see, we see the gospel is a truth to be believed, right? But it's not just a truth to be believed. It is a life that is lived in connection to God that takes joys in His ways as living sacrifices that are set apart for His purposes. We believe that God's purposes are perfect. And so wherever He directs, we are wise to follow. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." See, if this was me, I go, all right, here, as God is my witness, according to the grace given to me, I'm here to tell you, don't think of yourself any higher than you should, and then I will lay you low to tell you why you shouldn't think highly of yourself. But Paul doesn't do that. He lays a better path before them. This is an interesting passage. Here, we are informed that God has given, He has granted each of His children a differing measure of faith. And at the foundation, here's good news. If you find yourself in relationship with the Father, God has granted you a measure of faith. No one in this room is faithless. You may wish you had more. You may doubt the quality of yours. But God has given you a measure of faith. And the faith that you have, loved ones, is a good gift. given to you by a good father, and you are not to despise the faith that you have. I want to say it again. You are not to despise the faith that you have. It says, he has given, granted to his children a differing measure of faith, and he encourages us, Paul encourages us in this verse, to assess ourselves realistically. Let me give you four things that I conclude we can do with this because of this passage. First, you are not to be too easy on yourself, nor are you to be too harsh on yourself. You are not to think, oh, well, that's good enough, or I'll never measure up. He's given you a measure of faith, and we are to walk in it to the best of our ability. Which brings me to the second thought. We should each desire to grow in the faith that we've been given, to mature in the faith that we have, and give ourselves to the spiritual habits that increase faith. The study, the reading, the meditating of God's word, the gathering together with his people, the praying to the Lord alone, at all times, and with one another, to give ourselves to the disciplines that grow and that mature and that fan into flame the faith that we have. Third, from this I make this conclusion. We are not to measure ourselves by the faith of others. Man, if I only had the faith of, and you can probably have, there's probably a name in your mind. If I only had the faith of, then it'd be great. We are not to measure ourselves by the faith of others, nor are we to idolize the faith of others, nor are we to judge the faith of others as being inferior. We are to thank God for the faith that we have. We are to thank God for the faith that our brothers and our sisters have. We are to seek to mature and to grow in the faith that we've been given. And fourthly, we should see to it that we are good gospel friends of our brothers and sisters around us and actively blow wind into each other's faith sails. When we are speaking to one another and we find a sister or a brother who's discouraged, we are to blow faith into or the wind into their faith. So, brother, God is with you. You can do this. I will walk with you even as I know Jesus Christ is walking with you. The Holy Spirit is near. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to them is what Jesus challenges and loves them. This is what I believe. You've been redeemed, and therefore you have ears that have been healed by grace, and you can hear the voice of God. And I know there's a lot of noise in this world, and there's a lot of noise in your life right now. And you may doubt your ability to discern what is true and what is good and what is the will of God, but I am here with you. We will pray this through, and God will speak, and he will help you to understand what is good and what is perfect. He is working in your life so that you can discern and know what is his will. And you can do it. I believe in you. I believe in you. The reason I believe in you is because God has chosen you for himself. You are a chosen person. You are a royal kingdom. You are a possession of God's own taking. And he has appointed you to declare his glories in this world. I know you can do it because God has given himself for your success along these lines. May we blow wind in the sails of one another's faith. True faith in Christ, I conclude, brings humility. We're not measuring ourselves, thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. And it brings a resolve to grow in faith, to mature in faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. We're going to get actually to the gifts at some point, but this is all a part of it. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Love it. These words speak of the diversity and the unity that is in the church. Compares it to a human body. Just look around. We're nowhere near what they would call a mega church here. But good grief, are we different? Good grief. Is there a lot of individuality in this body of Christ? Just there is in every body of Christ. We are different. We are diversified. And we are one. In the same way that the human body is one, though it is composed of many members. And I will tell you what, there are parts of your body you never give a thought to. Never, ever, ever give a thought to. I was in my mid-20s before I ever had a real thought about my right pinky toe. Yeah, it was just there. I'm pretty sure my mom did this little piggy thing when I was a kid. And so, it was a part, you know. But, you know, it was just the wee-wee-wee piggy, right? Or is that the it was the wee-wee-wee piggy. That's about all I knew. But Sandy's grandma, mama, was a pottery kind of enthusiast. And she makes all pottery's fragile, but hers is some bulky stuff. Heavy-duty pottery. And we put a piece of pottery on the wall in the kitchen at Benninghoffen in Hamilton, Ohio. And we collected all our pennies in this already bulky piece of pottery. And you know, pennies are heavy, right? And so I don't know how many dozens of dollars and pennies were in this thing. I do know there came a day when one penny was too much. The plaster walls could not handle it. I put a penny in there and that thing fell on the wall and it crushed my right pinky toe. And you would have thought I was 2 seconds from death. It was the middle of summer. And I turned on the air conditioner in that tiny, tiny little house. And I'm warm-blooded. I had to turn the air conditioner off. I put sweatshirts on. I put sweatpants on. I had a cover. And I'm on the couch shivering from cold, from the sheer pain that nobody in this world has ever experienced like I did on that day. There are parts of our bodies we never give a thought to until we can't think about anything else. And then you know that you know that you know that that pinky is Brian Carl Smith. Always has been and always will be. And as insignificant as it is on the outside, it went wee, wee, wee all the way home. And taught me a lesson. Everything that belongs to this body is Brian Smith. And everything that belongs in the body of Christ belongs to Christ. Just as we are diverse, we are one. Composed of many members, many parts, the household of faith exists both in a unity and individually. Each of us, hear me, each of us adds color to this single beautiful tapestry that displays the wisdom and the glory of God. It's called the church. Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. And here we come to the listing of gifts that are referred to as the motivational gifts. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. These are gifts, I want to call them of temperament. These are motivational gifts, gifts the Father gives us, gifts of temperament which the Father gives us in creation. Don't you know temperamentally we are different from one another? And our temperaments in their diversity show forth the manifold wisdom of God. Now, depending on your temperament, no, not depending on your temperament, all our temperaments need to be curbed to some extent. They all have ways of manifesting themselves in ways that are harmful, but they all have ways of manifesting themselves in ways that are helpful. God will use us in our boldness, and God will use us in our meekness. God will use us in our shyness. He will use us in our exuberance. Whatever temperament we have, God redeems and He can use for His own glory. Back to the measure of faith given, we aren't to look down on our temperament, nor are we to elevate the temperament of others. We are to present ourselves as we've been created to God as an act of worship. We are each gifted. Let me say it this way. Loved one, you are gifted by God by way of creation. You might not care for your temperament. You may wish you had somebody else's temperament. Your wife may wish you had somebody else's temperament. But your temperament is God's gift to you and to your wife. You're welcome. We're gifted in different ways. This is neither debatable, right? Nor is it an accident. Variety in the body is evidenced by the variety of ways that God gifts people. Listed here, prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. These are the motivational gifts that are listed in verses 6, 7, and 8. Though I will tell you, there are other motivational gifts. We are each wired differently, and it's more broad than just these 8. 7. Motivational. By motivational, here's what I mean. Our God-given drives that shape how individuals, we as individuals, naturally think, naturally feel, naturally act as we serve. This is how we get our spiritual service groove on. Some of us get our natural spiritual groove on in acts of service. Others in acts of mercy. Others in acts of leading. Others come alive as they prophesy. Others come alive and feel fulfilled as they give. This is how you're naturally wired. You feel pleasure. Not just pleasure, personal pleasure, but you feel the pleasure of God as you get on your knees and you wash feet. You feel the pleasure of God when you get in your car and you drive to downtown Wilmington and you serve at the Sunday breakfast mission, though it is the furthest thing from some people's mind. You feel the pleasure of God when you write your tithe check to the church and then you give to other ministries where some of us, it is a hardship, but we do it obediently. Have you ever heard of Eric Little? Have you ever heard of the movie from the 70s? It was Chariots of Fire. It was a really long, great, but boring movie, in my opinion. I believe he was a Scottish man who was on the Olympic team as a runner, and he was a gifted runner. And I don't know, this may be an apocryphal story, but the story is, he was talking about what he feels when he runs. He said this, "I feel God's pleasure when I run." Loved ones, when we are operating in our natural gifting, we will feel not just satisfied because we're better than others in certain ways. We will feel God's pleasure and anointing upon that. If prophecy, Paul says, do so in proportion to your faith. This is instructing those whose gifting is prophecy to speak only when they are convicted that they have the heart of God on a matter. When you are used as a prophet and you speak prophetically to situations, calling out truth, speaking what is right and over what is wrong, people will come to you. People will seek you out. And it is a heady experience to have people come to you for a prophetic word. And in those situations, it is really tempting to say what you feel, to speak on your own authority. And Paul is saying to those who have this gifting, make sure your gifting is held in check by the voice of God. Do so in proportion to your faith, and don't get beyond your faith and what God has spoken to your own opinion. And don't you know we all have opinions? Boy, do we have some opinions. Every now and then they coincide with the voice of God. Sometimes it's just us belly aching. Those with this gift are not to exceed the faith that God gives and try to impress others. In service, we're going to really shorten this at this point. In service, in serving. In other words, let the server serve. And servers serve joyfully. In teaching, teach. Let the teachers teach. If the gift is exhortation, in exhortation, let the exhortators exhort. Some of us who are discouraged need your word of exhortation. If your gift is contributing in generosity, let the contributors contribute generously rather than begrudgingly. Leading, if your gift is leading, leave with zeal. Let the leaders lead with a dedicated zeal, being aware of laziness. Sometimes those who are gifted in leadership are also gifted in certain areas of management, and they can tend to being lazy because their lazy is better than other people's best. And so it's easy to scoot by. Be dedicated and give your gift to God zealously. If your gift is mercy, be cheerful in the process, which is so wise. I feel the Holy Spirit in these words, because I don't know that they would have come to Paul naturally, because that wouldn't be my first thought. Said, let those who show mercy with cheerfulness. Let the merciful act with a merciful gladness. In other words, he's saying this, don't grow weary in showing mercy. And don't you know you can grow weary in showing mercy to those who hurt and who need and who need and who need and who need and who never seem to get past their hurt and need. If your gift is mercy, show mercy and show mercy and show mercy with cheerfulness and never lose the joy. You and I, though, in the process, are to concentrate on and to give our energies to the gifts that God has given to us. Too much of the time we wish we had another gift, rather than seeing the gifting we have as God's gift to us and then through us to this world. This world needs merciful people. This world needs generous people. This world needs teachers. This world needs people who will speak prophetically truth in the face of falsehood. This world needs those who will exhort and encourage. It needs all of them. It needs those with the gifts of help. It needs those with the gifts of administrators. Let those who have the gift of help, help. Let the administrators administrate. Let the deacons deek. Let the singers sing. Let the dancers dance. Let those who have the gift of art use their gifts for the glory of God. It takes all the people of God to do all the work of God so they can reach all the people in this world. Every one of us is a part of the body of Christ that shows forth the glory of God broadly in this world. We are part of a tapestry that God has knit together, and we colored this tapestry in our own unique ways. But man, if I could just sing like Zoltan, then I'd really do something. I will tell you what Zoltan needs. Zoltan needs from time to time someone to speak to him prophetically about where he's tempted to go wrong. Our gifts will just give us arrogant heads if not checked by the gifts that God has placed within the body of Christ. And those who have the gift of prophetically speaking truth need. Those who have the prophetic gift of cutting them down to size from time to time. Let me remind you, Mr. Prophetic, that the Scripture calls us all, including you, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. I know everybody wants a word from you, and nobody wants a word from that guy who all that a person ever does is serve and serve and serve. They want to hear a word from you, and they take it. You're tracking with me, right? So I'm going to end with 9 thoughts, and they're quick thoughts. Don't despair. And 1 goofy story. Number 1, hear me. Loved one, you are gifted. Period. End of sentence. Secondly, every one of us has the ability and the responsibility to walk in the gifting that we have been given and, to the best of our ability, walk in the giftings that God gives. Those who are prophetic are also to give. They are also to help. They are also to show mercy. They are also to teach. It's just there's some areas where our gifting gets its real groove on. But we are not divorced from walking in all things godly just because we have an area that we are particularly gifted in. Tracking with me? We can't opt out of mercy. Well, let me just ask you, who gets to opt out of mercy? What godly parent gets to opt out of teaching their children godliness? Who gets to opt out of speaking truthfully when what is false is on display before you? Who gets to opt out of giving? Third, each of us does have dominant gifts or a dominant series of gifting that impacts everything that we do. Other gifts will impact all that we do. If your gifting is teaching, mercy will direct and temper how you teach harsh passages. The other gifts will impact our dominant gifts. The gift of exhortation will be affected by the gift of mercy. Fourth, God wires individuals in limitless ways. So if you're going, man, I don't know if I fit perfectly in one of those one ways, it's all right. You're different. You're wired in these ways and other ways and other ways. You are a hodgepodge of gifting for God's glory. You just are. Fifth, pursue what gives you great joy. Greatest joy. Joy is a clue. Passion is a clue. Six, seek growth in the other areas of godly gifting. If you are gifted as a teacher, you will probably not just have skill, but will have given yourself to improving that skill. But there's other giftings that is appropriate for you to, Lord, I don't do this giving thing very well. I do it obediently. This is me. I'll tell the story, I think, in about 5 weeks. For most of my Christian life, I've been an obedient giver. For most of my Christian life, I haven't been a joyful giver. And in recent years, I feel God calling me to grow in joy when it comes to giving. Seek growth in the other areas of godly gifting. Seven, familiarize yourself with your gifts. Well, how do you do that? Familiarize yourself with the gifts as they are expressed in the Bible. Open the Bible up, read through Romans chapter 12, read through Ephesians chapter 4, read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go back to it, see, you know, Lord, and as you did it, Lord, would you speak to me? And then be open to the truth that you probably have some giftings that aren't here. You have some ways that you are naturally skilled at. And where you're skilled, where you're temperamentally gifted, is not something for you to run from unless it's just grotesquely sinful. Run from that by all means, brother. 8, take notice of the abilities that you know you have. How do you do this? Sometimes it's the people around you who will say, man, it's really good when I hear you speak on this. Invite other people into your life and to speak to you what is true, what they see in you. And then 9, pray for God to bless you and the world around you as you walk in your God-given gifting. And I got to roll this close with the goofy illustration. The story is about 7 friends, each with different motivational gift. They have gathered together at a friend's house to eat dinner, and they are waiting for a dessert which is coming on a tray. When lo and behold, the tray tips over and the desserts spill everywhere. Some on the table, some on the floor. It is a glorious mess. Based on their gifts, the 7 friends respond thusly. The prophetic says, that's what happened when you're not careful. The server says, oh, let me help you clean that up. The teacher says, now, the reason that fell was that it was too heavy on the one side. Always be balanced. The individual with the gift of exhortation says, next time, let's serve dessert with the meal. The contributor says, I'd be happy to buy a new dessert. The one with mercy says, don't feel bad. It could have happened to anyone. The leader says, Jim, get the mop. Mary, would you pick this up? And Mark, please help me fix another dessert. All to the same end. Verse 6a says this, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. And one of my prayers that I have and this congregation has coming into 2025, let the gifts of God be released in Calvary Assembly of God. Let the gifts be released. Let the servers serve. Let the singers sing. Let the teachers teach. Let those with the gift of mercy speak mercifully. Let those with the gift of exhortation speak to the encouragement and the building up of one another. Let the gifts flow. Loved ones, you were created to show forth the life and the love of God in your own unique way. You have a unique faith capacity that is begging to be expressed in service to God in 2025. The church needs you. This world needs you. Let the gifted give their gifts away. Amen? Amen. We are only here because of the sacrificial gift of our Savior Jesus Christ. In saving us, He calls us out of the kingdom of darkness that we might serve Him. If you're familiar with the Exodus story, He sent Moses to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. Loved ones, we've been saved that we might serve. And by example, Jesus, the night that He was betrayed, gathering His best friends around Him, got on His knees and He served them in washing their feet. And there came a time in the meal where He took the bread and He broke it, and He's saying, this is my body which is given, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your sacrifice, Your obedient sacrifice that moved You to give Your body for us, that every virtue that can be ours because of Your sacrifice would become ours. We remember Your body broken, Your body given, and as we pray, we as partake together, we pray, Lord, that the virtue of Your life would flow through us yet again. Amen. And in offering up His blood loved ones, He served us for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the shedding of Your blood in service of our need, the forgiveness of our sins. Our sin demands judgment. Your blood provides mercy. And we thank You and we praise You. And we pray for forgiveness, and ask that mercy would flow in us and through us again. Amen. Amen. We're going to close in a time of worshipful singing.
Yeah. So just prepare yourself.